Welcome to the Mobile Trader Podcast. This is JD, the Mobile Trader, and today we have a special guest, guys. This man is known to us as the catalytic converter of Coinda, the bluegrass hemp harvester, the blockchain stacker. He's also a devoted husband, a caring father, but AKA he is the big acquiesce, AKA the big, okay, y'all, tell me what you want from me. What we have today, who we have is Mr. Lamar Wilson. Big Mar, how you doing, brother?
Hey, what's going on, JD, man? How you doing?
Hey, man, the last time you were in the spotlight was during the season finale of As What Coinda Turns. You had gotten tripped off the water slide and was shot into a river, man, and sent you off into the wilderness. In the next episode, I never gave it to y'all, but a bluegrass band picked you up, man. And I think they came and saved you, and you jumped out the window and did Beast Mode from Seattle. You did his move, man, and then we went off into the wind. But okay, man. I'm gonna give it to you right now. I need to know, when did you develop the entrepreneurial spirit, man? At what age did that bug bite you?
Man, I mean, my whole life, man, I've been kind of like hustling because I always just wanted to be an inventor, right? So I was always really creative. I was always drawing stuff. But I think probably one of my earliest times that like I knew that I was hustling is my brother and I made a lemonade stand during the little neighborhood yard sale. And I remember all the other kids did the same kind of thing, right? But me, I told my brother, I said, look, man, you on production, not in this way, but I was like, you making the Kool-Aid and selling it, and I'm gonna get on the bike and I'm gonna bring some people over here. So I just decided to, you know, take off and bring people to the lemonade instead of just sitting there beside my brother like the rest of the kids in the neighborhood. And the other kids in the neighborhood just looked at me, you know. They watched me ride past. They didn't know what I was up to, but I was really just stealing their customers, making sure they came to our house. You know what I mean?
And you to this day, man. And I mean, we've known each other through Coinda and on Facebook. But what I've noticed about one of your skill sets and one of your gifts is that you have the ability to operate without creating noise, where it's almost like, hey man, I hadn't seen Lamar, but people don't realize you're in the lab. You know, is that your style? Is it just you just buckle in and hunker down and, you know, and you show back up?
Yes, the thing is that when you're a developer, it kind of just happens like that, right? Especially for me, because I'm a very my mom always used to call me one track. I think people in Coinda would probably call me something else out there. They used to have ADHD, but my mom used to call me one track. But when I get focused on something, man, I like to execute. I think execution is higher than ideation. So
okay.
I like to make sure I get it done. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I mean, I like it when you say that, because you can have all those ideas that you're going to save the world, but you can't finish one. Just finish one of them and then save the world later. But okay, I like that. And you're talking about developer, what, and I've heard you mention full stack and things like I kind of peep your lingo at times. What is your educational background, you know, areas of study?
Well, I mean, I always say by degree I have a finance degree, but by trade I am a software developer. So I kind of taught myself both. I just like to read stuff that I'm interested in, and again, like I said, execution is greater than ideation. So application is greater than knowledge to me. So I always try to apply what I learn. So, you know, I have a degree in finance, and as a trade, I'm a software developer.
Wow. Outstanding. Because, I mean, as we moved forward in Coinda, when you popped up and created the coin and created the Garveys and then had a working wallet, and you went from just proof of concept to a functioning current, you know, a token, a cryptocurrency that can be moved, you know, that was amazing to me. And that's when I started realizing it, you know, this is more than a chat room. So one thing I've noticed is that you're a strong team builder. How important is being able to effectively collaborate when you're like, when you're entering a new venture?
Well, I mean, there's a African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go far, go with others, right? And so I really think that bringing people together and making sure that you not only utilize the talents, but allow them to utilize your talents is so important to actually doing something great. And I think that, you know, I think all of us, we all have it in us to do, to you know, provide our value to the world. But I think sometimes we get it cut short because we're too afraid to either share it, or we, you know, are we too afraid to allow someone else to shine? And I think if we all learn to work together, man, like, you know, more light creates, you know, gets rid of more darkness, if you know what I'm saying. The more lights yes. the more lights we allow to shine, the more darkness we allow to get rid of. So I'm always a big believer in working with others. Even though everybody don't always want to work, you know, work together, I still always fight for that and champion that.
I admire that in you, man. I'm on board with that. Moving forward with the thought process, man, I see, you know, has it been 2 years in coin to how many years?
Yes, almost 2 years, man. It's been a while.
So coming in, we were looking at, you know, togetherness, and we kind of just feeling the way around, and then the Garveys, you guys had, you and Leif came up with your program, and you worked the Garveys in there, and then the next step, the next maneuver was, or is, integrating SunJoin, your SunJoin corporation or co-op. But how do you select your investments? Do you have a checklist, or who's involved with helping you kind of perform your due diligence?
Well, the thing is, man, like, from a financial standpoint, when I pick investments, I lean toward value more, right? I'm not a huge day trader or anything like that. I've been investing in stocks since I was 17. I picked up my first book when I was about 19, called The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham. It led me to a lot of stuff with Buffett. So I have a portfolio. My kids have a little portfolio, that kind of thing, from that standpoint. But when it comes to things and endeavors that I go after, usually you'll find me moving into spaces that I see that can provide freedom, man. From the standpoint of not just, you know, having money, but from the standpoint of the things that their essence is freedom, right? So owning land, growing a crop that can create tons and tons of byproducts that you can then turn around and not just sell, but use, getting into cryptocurrency where no one has control. There's no censorship of where you send your money. That stuff all sounds like freedom to me. And I tend to go heavily towards freedom, right? Like I always tell people, man, like, my whole life I've been taken care of. I'm a spiritual guy, and Lord done took care of me my whole life. So I don't really think about what I'm gonna eat. You know what I'm saying? I don't think about having money. I always think about, how can I help not only provide freedom for myself and my family, but how can I help lead others to freedom? You know what I'm saying? To help them understand that, like, the rat race that we running, like, the things that we doing out here, not all the time, they have nothing to do with freedom. Many of us still have a slave mentality and wouldn't say it because they're like, we get paid $100,000. But, you know, there were some slaves that got taken care of better than others. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. You feel what I'm saying? So the mentality of, you know what I'm saying, staying under someone and being dependent upon someone else bringing you in, you know, bringing your income in, sometimes to me, that I want to help people get free from that because I know we can. And I know we can live a better existence in this world. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, that's beautiful right there. I tell you, if this was a fully adult show, I would tell you what I said when I saw you pull up the certificate for being approved to grow hemp in Kentucky, I believe.
Kansas.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I told my wife, I was like, baby, Big Mar Big Morning went just and got certified. You know, just show back up. You like you put it out there. You said, you know, this is what I'm planning to do, guys. Blah blah blah. I don't know how much time lapsed between that statement and then the fruition of the certificate or the certification, and put it up on the you know, you took a picture. Next thing you know, you cracking the ground. You breaking ground. Next thing you know, you have a team in place. You know, so how quickly do you process your ideas, man? Are you just let me just jump 10 toes down and go, and then I'll adjust as needed?
No, that's it right there, man. Because I truthfully believe life's real short, man. I've seen plenty of people who just, you know, don't even go after their dreams at all because they're too worried about what'll happen. That when I get something in my gut, I just roll with it, man. Like I said, when you have, because I can't say I'm completely fearless. I'm trying to get there. But when you got that feeling in your stomach that, you know what I'm saying, you already taken care of, your needs will be taken care of, your family going to be taken care of. You know what I'm saying? Even when I didn't have nothing, somehow some turn around and I'll mess around and get everything I needed, right? So once you get that kind of confidence, then it's just about, okay, this is in my gut. This is leading me towards a place that I feel like I can help other people, that I can show people a different way of living. And I just run, man. Like, I just go. And I try to make sure I do my due diligence and educate myself. I think that's one of the things. Like, as I get older, I used to never talk about, like, what God blessed me with from a talent perspective. But I realized one of my talents is being able to learn complex things swiftly. And so what I do is I just dig in, and, you know, before I know it, give me a month, 2 months, and I'll be talking like I've been in the game for 15 years and really understand it. You know what I'm saying? So that's pretty much what I did. Like, when I was already learning about hemp, and then I started learning about CBD, and I got with the teacher, Mr. Cashler. He's been around it for a long time, started learning about cannabinoids, and then it really started opening my mind up from what we can actually do with it to actually help free, like, people, like, help people to be healed, and then also be economically free, and just free, period, right? Just to have something that's entertaining, man. So,
oh man, that, well, when I hear you say free and the comfort level of jumping on, having an idea, and bringing it from just, you know, that inception in your mind into to reality. I always think about having a support group. This is called my agave segue right here, man. I know you and your family mentioned that you always talked about the agave. Is your wife's name Charisse or Cherie?
It's Charisse.
Okay. I know she has to be a strong supporter. She has to be for you to, you know, to step out there and, you know, move forward. And What type of level of support, and was it from day one? Did she know you were a dreamer? Man, that's
like real talk, man. That's the most important part of it all, right? I mean, I've always kind of been like I said, I always hustle, right? Like, I'm always trying to figure out how to go get it. And then there came a point where my hustle turned into a hustle for people. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was a point that switched. And my wife, the whole entire time, you know, she's been down like four flats. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, from the very beginning, her and I have been friends. We've been married. It'll be 20 years next month. So she's been down that long, and she comes from an entrepreneurial family, but she just always trusted me to just go. I think the big thing is that she knows she can't control me, right? So I think she's like, I'm not even going to try. I'm going to let this guy be a free agent, be a free soul, and then I'm going to go along for the journey. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
So I think that by far is probably one of the biggest things that has helped me do what I need to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's that freedom to dream. And then you know that she's going to tell you the truth. But if you have that passion behind it, that support is like, okay, let's roll with it. You know? Okay.
Right.
Wow.
Well, but think about it. If you seen like magical stuff happen your whole life, you just start believing that's what it is. You get what I'm saying? Like, if you try things and then your husband's like, listen, we're going to be all right. And then we get to the lowest of the low, and then we still all right. Then after a while, you just like, oh, that's just how life is. So we grew together, man. And for her to be the solid backbone that You know what I'm saying? That person that just stays consistent all the time, like, you can't ask for nothing better than that. Like, if any man out here listening finds that in a woman, like, you better get on one knee immediately. Whatever it is you do to say you're going to get married, you need to go and grab her up. Because once you find that, man, don't let that go ever.
Oh, man, that's a – I tell you, you said 20 years coming up in a couple of months. It'll be 19 years for my wife and I. And
yeah,
that's
man.
That's off of 3 months. I met her, and we dated for 3 months. I proposed. I was like, that's a wrap. I said, right. She's the one that knows she'll give me the some grocery money, and she knows it's a 40% chance I might come home with a bag of magic jumping beans and spent the whole. But if I do, it's gonna work. You know, that kind of thing. Right. She has that support, but she's already put a little money off to the side just in case I go off on one of my you know, just like what you and your wife go through from the standpoint of new ideas. When you're talking about freedom and stepping out, how do you overcome fear, uncertainty, and doubt, aka FUD?
I mean, the biggest thing is to research and read, like learn as much as I possibly can. So then when I finally do take that step, so I think I have a process, right? Like the first thing is see it with my mind, you know, have that vision, see the end, see where it is I want to go, right? Once I have that vision, then I'm like, okay, now I need to prepare. And I always call it like, you know, like climbing a mountain. You got to go get the backpack and the rope, and you got to go talk to the person who understands how to lead you up the mountain, who's been up the mountain several times. Like, there's a whole lot of steps you got to do before you climb the mountain. But that goal and that vision is, I see myself at the top of the mountain. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So overcome the fear, like you just prepare yourself. And then you got to realize the biggest thing you always have to realize is that you can never prepare yourself for everything. And so you have to have a commitment to what it is you're doing. And once you get that commitment, like I was talking to a guy the other day, he helped me to understand, like, commitment comes before even trust, because you first just commit. You learn to trust, but you first commit. Once you make that commitment, then you basically saying to yourself, come hell or high water, I'm going to get to the top of this mountain. And once you do that, then you'll open yourself up to say, okay, if I already know I'm starting at a place that I'll never quit, then that means that I just keep on pushing toward the top of the mountain. And regardless of what happens, I learn on the way up. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Wow. I like that process. How long have you been basically a full-time, I guess, survivor, entrepreneur on your own, to where you're carrying the burden and making it happen?
Man, I mean, I had my first duplex at 22. I got coached on Creameries. I got two coached on Creameries when I was 25.
Wow.
I lost both of them and the duplex at 27. I then turned around, taught myself how to code when I was at the lowest of low after losing everything, my car, house, everything. Taught myself how to program, wound up making some apps to make about. At first, I was like, man, I just want to pay for the internet because we didn't have a lot of money. So I was like, I just need to make at least $2 a day. That'll be $60 a month. If I can make $2 a day, pay for internet, I'm good. Next thing I know, the apps I made, I started making almost $7,000 a month and wasn't doing nothing. So then I was like, okay, I like this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then I just kept pushing on in that direction, wind up started, you know, doing, building websites, building applications, met Leif, of course. Leif and I started working together. Then I got in the startup game, raised money from the government. I've raised money in almost every single way you can probably think. I got money from the government. I got an SBA loan at some point. I got seller financing at a point. I've raised money through venture capital. At one point, they said we were one of only like 35 or 40 black men who raised over $2.5 million from venture capitalists. So, I mean, like, I've traveled along that journey, and I've been doing that since I was about 22. Of course, there's times that I went back and worked at Amazon for a couple months until I, you know, stacked a little money and then got back out the game, got back out and started doing my own thing again. You know what I mean? I get off the ship every once in a while at islands and go find the treasure on them little islands, but I got to get back on the ship because I got a goal I got to hit. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I've been doing it for a little while, man. And like I said, God done took care of me the entire time. So I don't have no reason to doubt him now.
Wow. I appreciate you sharing that story with us. I know that's going to touch somebody, especially someone in the room, you know, and I, it's going to go in Coinda, but I mean, just someone listening to where it doesn't have to always be combative. If we're not on the same page of like of the journey and the fact that everybody's moving forward and trying to, I guess, strengthen our circle. That's what I'm trying to come to. Like, do you have a group or a mentor or a trusted circle of friends where you can bounce ideas and feel that they, you know, it's going to be the reciprocity is going to be involved and it's going to grow.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I definitely have, excuse me. I definitely have my wife. But of course I go holler at Leif every once in a while. The funny thing about me though, I'm kind of like one of those artists or those musicians that say they don't listen to other music. You know how you find those guys like, man, I really don't listen to nothing unless it's like old stuff. Like you'll find me reading like old autobiographies of business people. That's why that Benjamin Graham touched me, right? Like just old autobiographies. And that's what I do. I kind of read those to kind of figure out like, okay, what did this person do when they were going through that? I do have some mentors, but I don't know. I got that. I don't need help, Gene.
I don't know.
Like, I don't like to ask my daddy for nothing. Like, I like, that's like my calling card. Like, ever since I left home, I ain't asked him for a dime. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of thing. So, yeah. It's just hard for me to do that. But I do have people that I talk to. But a lot of times, the crazy part is, and what I learned real quick was, a lot of the industries that I am interested in, nobody knows about them. And so, I'm the pioneer. I'm the one that takes all the arrows in the back. You know what I mean? So,
right.
There's nothing I can really ask a lot of folks because I'm out there, you know, and every once in a while you find someone like Cashta who's already been doing stuff in the cannabis world for a long time that helps. But a lot of times, especially like blockchain, there was no one. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like
I'm on
the internet looking like Captain Caveman trying to tell people about Bitcoin. And it's like there is no one. I was doing little lessons and trying to teach people and all of this stuff on stuff that I was just learning, you know what I'm saying, just from reading about cryptography and reading the Bitcoin white paper. So, I mean, I find that I'm always on the edge, and I think that's the only way I can live, man. Like I can only live at the cutting edge because at the edges is where you find freedom, right? Like I can break loose.
Oh man, that's great. That sounds. I mean, the words are resonating with me. I lost a mentor over cryptocurrency or Bitcoin. You know, just from when you say stepping out on the edge and it's lonely, there's no blueprint or roadmap for certain areas that you're going down on your journey. And I like that. I think Sharice is that cornerstone, man. That's outstanding. Tell her hello for us, please, man. And quick question, from a leadership perspective, how important is it for you to know when to either take charge or basically step back and let someone else move in?
Man, that's a huge one, man. I think for me, if I am kind of captaining the boat, if you jumped on my ship, so to speak, then I tend to take that very serious because in the past, I've learned lessons when you allow someone to usurp your vision. So,
yes.
I've become extremely protective sometimes of my vision because it's like the vision was given to me and I got to see it through. I'm not saying that I won't make it there, but sometimes if you get people to take you off on a different path because you think, okay, this might work a little bit better, you find yourself not even going towards your vision anymore. And that wasn't what you were called to do. And you'll get depressed. Like I get depressed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah. So, the time I step back is when I don't know. Like if I don't know something, then and I went and found somebody who's far better than me that knows way more than me, I'm gonna let them do that thing. Like I'm not a micromanager when I have employees at all.
That's what I was gonna lead into, the delegation side of it.
Yeah,
you know. Okay.
I pretty much give you freedom because for me, it's more again, execution is better than ideation. So if you can execute something and do it where you ain't hurting nobody, you know what I'm saying? I'm not telling you go kill and rob and steal and stuff to get to the end. But if you do something, it might not be the way I did it, but if you can execute and get the execution done, then, hey, so be it. I like to give people freedom. That's why I almost have to work with entrepreneurial-type people. Like, if you're not entrepreneurial, me and you probably won't work well together because I'll probably have to fire you. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, if you can't handle your own, if you can't do it on your own, then I'll probably have to let you go. And I think, truthfully, a lot of that shows up in Coinda when people say Lamar is gone all the time. But I'm like, hey, you got just as much ability to do whatever it is I do. You feel what I'm saying? Like, right. I've got this thing going. Leif and I started the thing up. Now we just the own rolling community, and people like yourself are coming out with dope podcasts. We got Weekonomics Magazine. We got the music angle. Like, people are doing their own things, but they're still within Coinda coming back. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I tell you this, man, I'm not going to hold you all night. I want to get into a couple of other little segments. You mentioned your Benjamin Graham book. I have a few favorite books of mine, The Alchemist, The Richest Man in Babylon, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Outliers, and The Power of One. Do you have a few other books that you kind of lean on or that kind of helped kind of boost you or give you a little motivational type of a kick?
Yeah, man. Rich Dad, Poor Dad was a huge one for me. The Bible, of course, but probably the most important book that I've read outside of the Bible, I mean, is probably Think and Grow Rich, because what it did was taught me how to, like, the stuff that I saw in the Bible, it gave me a practical way to execute, right? I always talk about execution application. Like, Think and Grow Rich allowed me to figure out how I could apply the stuff I was learning from everything. Right. How to, put it in your mind and desire and understanding auto-suggestion and those kind of things. So I always like my kids, I told them, here, y'all got to read it. My son finally read it. It's funny. He read about the same age that I read it. When he finally read it, I've been trying to get him to read it forever. And now he's telling all his friends, man, you got to get Think and Grow Rich. So
amazing,
I think
book. That, amazing book. Yeah.
Yeah. That book was huge for me, man.
Okay. Well, here we go, man. We're going to go to the rapid fire segment. It's three questions, three random questions. Okay. First one. We go Jordan, LeBron, or Mamba?
Man, but see, that's not fair because I'm Magic Johnson.
Oh, so you going Magic? You going Magic?
Magic, the group? Greatest of all time, man.
Okay. And I can't dispute that, man, because a 6'9 point guard, as a rookie, jumping in, going right into a championship caliber.
Right. Okay. Anybody that many positions and excelled at all of them.
Right.
And he might not score a lot of points, but he averaged 11 assists for, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go with Irvin.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with this. Prince or Michael Jackson?
Oh, man, that's Prince all day.
Okay, we go with the purple one.
It ain't even a question.
Okay, we're going to remove the CJs. We're going to remove the Garveys from this question. And Bitcoin or Ethereum?
Bitcoin.
Okay, you're going King B. All right.
And all day.
Now, Lamar, please tell the audience – I want you, the big thing that I've seen, and I this is amazing to me, is how you basically you started a new company within Coinda, SunJoined. Will you talk to the audience about SunJoined?
Yeah, so SunJoined is basically the culmination of the ideas that we've been having in Coinda around the hemp industry, which hemp is a brand new industry in the United States. It's starting to open up as of December 20th, 2018. So the idea is to work, instead of building a company, build the most massive vertical network in the world, where you work with farmers that are autonomous, right? You work with distributors that are autonomous. You work with processors that are autonomous. But even though all of them have their own autonomy, they are all still connected through the same network. Therein which lies the power, right? And because if we can work together in that network by giving the farmers their best, the best practices, teaching them how to grow the greatest quality hemp. If we can help by pushing that great quality into producers, processors, and manufacturers to help them create end products, and then push those end products into a distribution channel like the world has never seen, like, I think that we have an opportunity not only to increase the value in the network, but to increase the value of every single person in that network. And I think we live in an age where technology allows us to do that in full force. And there's no reason for us not to do it right now. And so that's where SunJoin comes from. I mean, when we all are focusing on what separates us, SunJoin focuses on what brings us together. And that's why the name is SunJoin, because the sun connects every last one of us on this planet. And that's how we like it.
Perfect. Well, okay, another, we're going to wrap it up, but I want to know, do you foresee the production line and the distribution showing up on the blockchain from the standpoint to where you can track point to point?
Now, JD, you know I'm a bit quiet about certain things. All you have to do is realize, like, if you notice my progression in everything that I've ever done, the things that I bring along with me from the past, they tend to show up in the future. So let's just say that everything that I've done, I kind of keep some stuff with me and bring those skills to use them in the future. So just stay tuned.
Okay, we got you got some crumbs in the beard and hiding them in there. We got it. That's fine. The flavors. Hey, well, here's the last one, man. Give me your favorite Martin quote from the TV show. Mine falls into the scene where Gina and Martin are in the living room at the house, and Tommy and Cole on the sofa bed, and Martin sitting there said, "Just look at him, Gina, looking like a broke ass Michael and JJ." That's my. They were asleep, man, and because he read the story to him. He read the green eggs in hand to him, man, and they fell asleep. Anyway, all right, go ahead.
You know, that's like my favorite dang on book of all times.
The Green Eggs and Ham?
Green Eggs and Ham, bro. Like, I said it in high school and on Valentine's Day. They said, "What would be your favorite, your perfect gift?" I was like, "Man, Green Eggs and Ham." I promise you, this wonderful young lady, by the end of the day, I had a whole Green Eggs and Ham book with a note in the front of it, bro. Wow. Crazy.
Wow. Yeah, man. Like, well, crazy, I still need your quote. I still need your quote.
Man.
You can't go BDB. You get out. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to hold you for that next episode.
I'm going to hit you clear. Don't you know no good. That's my favorite quote, because don't you know no good.
All right. I got the scene that car broke down and brother was fixing the car. And he did nothing but he loved his music. Well, right. Hey, Big Marvin, I appreciate you taking the time today. Is there any, please let the audience know how they can reach out to you, whether it's through Coinda or anywhere else on social media.
Yeah. So it's Big Mar everywhere, BIGMARH everywhere. So Instagram, now on Anchor. Shout out to JD for getting me on Anchor. Facebook, you can find me Big Mar pretty much anywhere on the internet. And I appreciate you for doing this, and y'all make sure y'all go check out my man's, all his writing, man. This guy is the most incredible writer. I love his creativity. I love his energy, and he needs to do some more stuff with that too, man. Do you even talk about your books on here, brother?
No, man. I hadn't really mentioned anything like that. I'm just trying to get everybody that are comes
you
on here.
On your book. I'm sorry. Your book, but you know, it'll be books. Yeah. I know it will.
I have a second one in the works, man. But yeah, I'll bring it up. I'll bring it up down the road, man. I appreciate it, man. And definitely coin to help boost me to put some things out there. So
hold on one second though. I'm gonna say it because you ain't gonna say it. It's Alone in a Galactic Revolution. Alone in a Galactic Revolution. You can get it now on Kindle. Go pick it up. And you gotta make sure you leave that in there, JD. Okay.
I appreciate it, man. I will. Hey, Lamar, tell the family hello, and looking forward to what's next on, you know, down the pipeline.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate you having me on. And anytime you need anything, brother, you know, just hit me up.
I appreciate it, man. God bless. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, God bless you too. Live, love, love life, man. One.
All right.